Good evening. I am not V. Paul Reynolds. I am Catherine Gordon, sitting in for the legendary V. Paul Reynolds this evening. He was feeling a little under the weather, so he decided to stay home. I think he's playing hooky jack. I heard his daughter was coming to visit today, so I think maybe he's playing a little hooky.
I think he is.
Let me introduce the team that we do have here. In the booth, the man in charge, the phantom fisherman of Grand Lake Stream, Norm Plourd.
Good evening, Catherine. How you doing?
Good. A little discombobulated, but you know, Paul said he wasn't coming. Like, what?
We'll be fine.
Yes. How's the garden going?
Got my first tomato 2 days ago.
Oh, good for you. And how's that heat? Did the heat hurt it? All those hot days?
No, not really. I mean, it gets really too hot in the greenhouse.
Mm.
And I should have put up my shade cloth, but I didn't. But even with the shade cloth on, with that kind of temperature,
yeah,
it still gets pretty toasty in there. But I mean, plenty of water.
What else you got in there besides the tomatoes?
Oh, Lordy, we got peppers, green, let's see, we got peppers, broccoli, cauliflower,
all kinds of good stuff.
Like 6 or 7 varieties of tomatoes, lettuce, bok choy.
I want to come visit your garden. That sounds like quite a garden. How big is it?
Well, it's kind of piecemealed. You know, I have a 9 by 21 greenhouse. And then I've got a 4 by 20 raised bed that I grow my stuff on, and basically handed the garden over to my son. He's got quite the green thumb.
Nice.
So in the garden, we have like a 25 by 24 area. Then it's another area that's 10 by 22.
Big. Yeah. I had a little tiny, I call it a salad garden.
Yeah.
It's like maybe this big.
Oh, no.
I have a couple of things of lettuce. Well, I'm saying this big, like people on the radio can see me. It's like 3 by 3.
Yeah, I can fit a few of those in what we have. We also have.
Are you bringing us some tomatoes? Is that what you were hinting at earlier?
It's going to be, well, the small tomatoes. Yeah, that's another week or so they'll be
nice.
Coming in better.
Awesome.
But bigger tomatoes, we're probably looking like August.
A while. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, also got some eggplant.
Ooh, yummy.
More than we could ever possibly eat.
Bring me some. I love it.
Oh, seriously?
Yes.
I'll have to see if I can swipe a few from my son.
Nice. I'll definitely take them. And we actually have a wonderful show here. We have it full studio. We have Paul House back from House of the Woods by popular demand. People loved the show that you did a couple months ago with Angie. And you have brought a friend with you. Who have you brought with you, Paul?
This is one of the veterans, Dusty Fisher.
And he went on a trip with you.
Yes,
and we'll talk with him about that trip. And the sitting in the co-host chair is Colonel Jack Mosier, owner of Gold Star Outfitters. And last weekend, we've been kind of busy this whole week, but last weekend I wasn't here because I was working with Jack on a Make-A-Wish event. Do you want to tell him a little bit about that?
Well, yes, Catherine, and I'd love to.
I know.
Great to see you again.
Yeah,
since
you
our
see
fishing
me so
trip
seldom.
On Monday. We won't talk about that right away. We'll save that for later.
Okay.
But yes, we had a great group with us for the Make-A-Wish Foundation on the Kennebec River. We went to fly fish. We taught them how to tie flies. Then we taught fly casting. And then we went on the river for 2 days and caught some great smallmouth bass, watched the eagles, the
Beautiful.
Ospreys, and of course the jumping sturgeon all the way down the river. It's just an absolutely beautiful trip. And we're very fortunate to have Jeff and Zach come with us.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And we do this trip several times every year, and this is my favorite trip. We start in Waterville, and you feel like you're a million miles away from everyone. You just see eagles, you don't see any houses, and you float down the river, and those sturgeon, when they jump beside your canoe, they're huge, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, we had high water, too, so we didn't have to worry too much about the rocks going through.
Yeah,
there's a lot of rocks down there. We had about 8.5 feet of water. It was 2.5 feet higher after that deluge we had in the central part of the state the night before, so we got lifted over those rocks. But it was absolutely beautiful, as you said. It's one of Central Maine's greatest treasures for fishing, no question.
Yeah,
question
and it was a wonderful Make-A-Wish is a wonderful thing to work for.
They do great work.
Absolutely.
They do great work. And
wonderful.
We're very thankful for the donations that Jeff and his family.
100% thankful. thankful.
A lot for it to help the young people who are suffering, critical injuries and illnesses.
And coming up, we'll talk a little bit more because I know we have had people message me that say, you know that guy from Sunken Lake up there? Can you bring him back to give us some updates? So in just a minute, Jack will give us some updates from the North Maine Woods where he spent, how many weeks up there lately?
Well, pretty much straight through since May 2nd. I have a lot of critical information for the people that will be going up there hunting and fishing and canoeing. All current information from great people that I know up there. My own personal experience. I got a few minutes ago a great report from my buddy who's a fellow guide, Chris Bushway. He gave me the latest on grouse, bear, moose, and fishing.
Good.
Plus the Allagash water levels, too.
And this is also a talk show. And if you have any questions for Jack or for Paul or for Dusty, not for me, though. But if you do have any questions, Jack, what is the phone number?
The phone number here is 1-800-966-1039. For you military people, that's 1-800-966-1039.
Thank you, Jack. And a few little housekeeping.
Phonetically.
A few little housekeeping things here. The show tonight is brought to you in part by the Northwood Sporting Journal, which is New England's most popular outdoor publication. You are listening to us locally on WVOM at 101.3 Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, and across the country streaming online at WVOMFM.com. You can also go online and listen to past shows as well. And that's always fun. If you can't listen, I like to listen to old shows as I'm driving different places, and that's a lot of fun. If you do want a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal, you can go to www.sportingjournal.com and hit subscribe, or you can call Alicia at 732-4880 for a subscription. And I'm holding the new July copy in my hand. I haven't had a chance to look at it because it just came, but there is a picture of a guy with the biggest frying pan I've ever seen in my life. Can you guys see that? And it
Wow, it's huge.
I'm like, I want to know what's in there that he's eating. It looks great, but it's salt pork in the pan. So that it's a really interesting cover, and we hope that you give it a look. And actually, the prize for our trivia question tonight is a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal. Jack, do you want to tell us the
question?
I would be more than happy to talk about the question of the day, Catherine.
Okay. I know. We're passing around the computer because
I remember it. I don't need to read it, okay?
Okay.
You told me earlier.
All
so
right.
But it has a bonus component, too. So, all right. Here's the question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Brace yourselves, everyone. Get out your Google searches. No Google searching out there. No, okay. How many states does the Appalachian Trail pass through? How many states does the Appalachian Trail pass through? And for a bonus, which state is the longest amount of miles? Which state is the shortest amount of miles? So
perfect.
For those of you who know that, give us a call.
Right, and give us a call. And Jack, the number one more time?
1-800-966-1039.
Okay, do we have any callers, Norm, with the answer to how many miles are in the which state has the...
How many states?
How many states does the Appalachian Trail touch, and which has the most and which has the least miles?
We have two callers.
Ooh,
here's
goody.
Caller number one.
Hi, caller.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Jason, Frankfort, Maine.
Hi, Jason. What do you think?
I believe that there's 14 states.
Absolutely. You got it.
And I want to say the longest state would be Pennsylvania, and the shortest would be New Hampshire.
Well, you got the main part. You got the 14, which gives you the prize, but the state that has the longest, it was 557 miles, is actually in Virginia. And the shortest was, I know, the shortest was in West Virginia, which is, I think, where the headquarters for the Appalachian Trail actually is, and it has the shortest amount of miles, and it's only 2.4 miles there. But you got the main, you got the main question. The other was just, I wondered if anybody knew, but congratulations.
And well, the Virginia one, I was going back and forth between Pennsylvania and Virginia.
Oh, did you, was Virginia on your list, you mean?
It was.
Oh, have you ever hiked any parts of the Appalachian Trail?
I would say up near Moxie. That's about it.
Yep. I'd like to do that 100-mile wilderness. Once I found out I didn't have to climb Katahdin for that part, I'm like, yeah, I could do that. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Katahdin is an amazing hike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
it is.
I really appreciate you calling, and you have won yourself a subscription to the Sporting Journal. Northwoods Sporting Journal.
Thank
you. So don't hang up. Norm is going to get all your info, and congratulations. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, Jack, why don't you give us a little update, and then we'll talk with our guests.
Let's talk about the Great North Maine Woods, that treasure in northern Maine, of course, where we get to go hunting and fishing. And I've got a lot of information here for my fellow guides from Bradford Camps, Igor Sikorsky up there with his wife Karen, always a good source of information. Alvin Terrio, Terrio's Fly Shop, great people up there. But first of all, let's talk about brook trout fishing. It's been a great season up there. The waters remain cold. The water is still fairly deep up there, although the Allagash has dropped recently despite our recent rain. And the chubs have not really come in the way that they have in the past. We were fishing on the Allagash not long ago, still catching good brook trout up there. The green hatch, the green drake hatch, is starting to emerge in select ponds in the North Maine woods. So if you're thinking that the ponds have gone by, not true. Catching good togue on the lakes. There's salmon up there, and the brook trout are still rising to insects on the water throughout those little Maine beaver ponds up there. The real news I have to tell you about, though, which I'm so excited about, is we had great concern about the ruffed grouse.
Yeah, with all that
patches
rain.
Up. We had so much rain. It was so cold, and we just weren't seeing them out there. There was great debate among many of the guys up there whether we're going to get a big chick kill up there, a chick mortality. But I'm happy to report that we're seeing a lot of chicks, a lot of broods on the ground up there, and it looks like they have survived in good numbers this dreadful weather we've had throughout this spring. So you can look forward to having a lot of those birds out getting gravel off the roads with your bird dogs, or you heater hunters out there are going to have a great season ahead. The moose population, I'm talking about mostly in Zone 5, where I do most of my brook trout fishing up there, but Igor flying over the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7s, the moose look very healthy. Not a lot of evidence of winter tick, just in the moose that we're seeing. Good calves. They have that beautiful post-winter sleek, almost like a racehorse, hide. They're just beautiful animals, and I'm hoping that the winter tricks, chicks, were not that bad as far as the season goes. So the moose looks good. Good bear out there. Seeing a lot of deer on the Pelletier Road, the Pinkham Road. Not something that we've seen in the past, but I've seen a lot more deer up there than in previous seasons, so it's looking really good. You Allagash canoe trippers out there, we got the water today at about 2.7 feet, running at 800 CFS at the Allagash gauge. The water is low. It's pretty bony. Going in at Indian Stream, Chamberlain Thoroughfare. Go anyway. It's you can check right on the USGS website what the water levels are, and of course the rangers at the Churchill Dam, Trevor Terrio up there, he's the new ranger, just came down from Michaud Farm, which is now run by Alyssa up there. They'll open the dam between 8 and 12 to push you through down to Bisonette Bridge down to Msockskis. So go tripping on the Allagash. It's a great trip.
That dam, I know you're on a roll here, but that, Jack, when we went, that was the biggest thrill for me. I tell everybody this story. They let me open the dam, and I was so excited. I get to get up on there, have the little tool and open it, and you see the water start to rush through. That was fun.
It is. I mean, the purpose of Churchill Dam is strictly to manage the water for Canoas, the water levels there, and they're doing a great job doing that. I can't say enough about the work that the Rangers do, especially with the mandatory portage of going around Chase Rapids down to Bisonette Bridge. It's virtually costless, like $6 or $8, I think. And they'll take your gear around for you so that the Chase Rapids isn't full of coolers and paddles.
Or you.
Or you, yes.
If you do not want to do that section, they will portage you around it.
But it's a real thrill, and it's a great experience.
Yeah,
I think people that do go through the Allegash, the 94-mile waterway, are permanently bonded. We really recommend it to our veterans population out there. It's a great way to go out with your family members and have that great, true frontier experience in an unspoiled section of Maine's most beautiful wilderness.
And it is beautiful. When we went through, we saw deer as we were paddling. We saw deer right on the side. We were putting our tents up and a moose was there. I mean, it's incredible. Absolutely. And now I'm looking at the man across the table from me. Hey, hi, Paul.
Hi.
Thank you for coming back. I really appreciate it. We miss Angie if she's listening. Hey, Ange. If you remember last time, Paul was here and he talked about the foundation he started, House in the Woods, in memory of his son. And I'd like to just talk a little bit about the things that you have coming up to support that and the different events that you have. What can you talk us a little bit about what you did today? They had quite a nice event, Angie said.
We did. We had a side-by-side four-wheeler ride today at the lodge. I think we had around 100 people show up. I think we had 54 machines.
Wow.
Started out this morning, pancakes, homemade maple syrup that we made right there at the lodge.
Oh, yummy.
And we kicked it off at 10 o'clock. It was a short ride. Good ride, though. Came back, had a big spaghetti feed there for everybody. A lot of veterans, their family members, there were some young kids and their spouses. So it was just a wonderful time out there on the trail enjoying the camaraderie with each other.
I think that is wonderful. That's kind of one of my little bucket list things. I really would love to get one of those UTVs. I used to have a motorcycle and I used to ride that everywhere constantly. Now that I'm, you know, getting older, I'm like, I want a little more comfort. I want one of the little glass windshields, all cover air conditioning. Do they make those?
They do.
That's what I want.
They do. Yeah.
That's awesome. And you have, and she also sent me a text that said you have, she was setting up some trees. Can you explain what's going on with that?
We do. Starting July 1st, coming right up, we have Festival of Trees. I believe we have 28 trees set up from different companies that are sponsoring a tree. It could be, we have hunting trees, we have fishing trees, we have trees for kids. The Maine State Prison did some beautiful work with the woodworking they have set up, and different folks from around the state have brought trees. So if you get a chance, come on up. We're going to do the drawing on the 27th of July, so that'll be there the whole month pretty much. We also have music on the green, which is July 12th. We have a band coming. We have another singer. We have free food. Dowland's ice cream truck will be there. And, of course, the Festival of Trees. So anybody is welcome to come.
So it doesn't have to be a veteran. It's just anyone in the community that wants to come in and do that. Oh, that's wonderful.
Anybody.
Absolutely wonderful. And you do... it's just something specific for veterans. So don't you like a coffee for them?
We have coffee with vets every third Wednesday of the month.
Every third Wednesday.
Yeah, from 7 to 11 a.m. We have all the coffee you want to drink, two tables full of goodies that the ladies bring in. It's great camaraderie. We had Booth Bay vets came in cook for us here the last 2 months ago. And then we had wood turners for vets, and we had guitar for vets there. And they cooked enough for 100 people. There's about 120 vets showed up.
Wow.
Normally we get 30 to 40 that show up every third Wednesday of the month.
That's wonderful. Because I had a lady ask me that was a veteran, and I'm like, I will ask Paul and let you know exactly when the coffee thing is, because she was very interested coming up.
Yes,
so wonderful.
To have them.
Wonderful. And you've been very quiet over there, Dusty. How are you doing over there?
We're just fine.
Good. How did you meet Paul?
I met Paul at the airport when his son was being deployed. That was the first time I was there when his son was brought back.
Oh, no kidding.
And I met him up in Lee at the wake for his son. And it's gone on since then.
And you yourself are a veteran?
Yes.
And do you want to tell us a little bit about your service?
Well,
I
tell people it was country club living compared to what a lot. I sat on a hill in Pittsburgh for 3 years with NORAD. I was at the command center for 6 Nike missile sites around Pittsburgh.
Oh, no kidding.
And some of the unit I was with was the 31st Artillery, and they have come through the airport in Bangor several times.
Nice.
Which makes it a very good evening to see that patch that I had many, many years ago.
Absolutely. Have you ever been up to one of the coffees?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, is he telling the truth? Or are there all those kind of goodies up there?
Yeah, there are. And I've gone up with several. Usually there's a carload of us that goes up when we do.
Nice.
But it's a great, nice event.
Nice. So I have a bunch of things, like a million things here. I want you to tell the shed hunting story, if you don't mind, that we were talking about before we went on the air. Because I'm not good at shed hunting. I don't have the dog to like sniff them out. But can you tell what you found and what's made out of them? Because that was cool.
Yeah, we went up at the North Main Woods, and there was four of us. We ended up finding 18 sheds, just us. We had my dogs, my tracking dogs. They did not go with us in the woods looking for them. So
it was just people, no dogs?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Just
good.
People,
so
no
I
dogs.
So I should do better than I do then.
You can. You just got to know, try to figure out where the moose are hanging out, that kind of thing. And a lot of times you'll ask local people that know. They may not go shed hunting, but this was a 3 or 4 year old cut where we went. You can go to a fresh cut. There's a variety of places you can go. The best thing, if you're around with your snowmobile and see a lot of tracks, that's a place, a good sign. That's where the moose, you're going to find the shed. So we traveled, I think, 7 miles the first day, 8 miles the second day. And we traveled. Those things are heavy. So you want to take a pack with you so you can strap them on. That will save you lugging them in your arms.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Getting sore shoulders and all that. But it's a lot of fun. To me, it's just a great way to take bets out and get out there and enjoy God's creation, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great fun. And what did they make? You were telling me that you had someone make
something
cool?
Yes. I gave 3 of the sheds that I had found earlier to the Woodturners of Maine. And they took those sheds and cut them up to the right size. And they made ink pens for us. They're beautiful. I think they brought like 40 or 50 of them back to us. So we're going to give them out to some of the people that help us at House in the Woods. Yeah,
nice.
They're just gorgeous. Yeah.
And I saw a little thing because I looked it up because I have some friends that were interested in volunteering. It's nice when, you know, teachers and different people have summers off because then they like to still volunteer and do things. How would they get a hold of you? And like, what kinds of things can they volunteer for at your...
Well, they can go online.
And it's right, houseinthewoods.org.
Houseinthewoods.org. And Angie will pick that up, and she has a spreadsheet, and you can put what you prefer to do, and there's multiple things that can be done. So we need cooks, we need guides, we need people to go to the airport, cleaning. There's a ton of stuff that can be done.
It's not just someone that needs, because my friend isn't hunting or fishing, but she had, you know, family members that were veterans. I'm like, I think there's a million things you could volunteer and do there.
There is.
Nice to hear that it's not just that.
We did a hike last year, the side-by-side ride. So there's a variety of things. We're trying to do more recreational things for folks that don't hunt or fish.
No, good. I'll definitely tell her that, too. I feel like I'm getting a wealth of information here. But we do have to go to commercial, and we will come back, and we're going to talk about some other hunting and fishing events going on. And we are back. You are listening to the Maine Outdoors on WVOM, the Voice of Maine. We have in-house talking with us Paul House from House in the Woods, and you just took a trip to Lake Ontario. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this was around our 12th year going out there, and we have charter boats that donate 2 days of fishing. We leave on a Monday early in the morning from Darlings, and takes about 10 and a half hours from Bangor to get there, and stop at Walmart, get all the goodies for the boats, and then we head over to the hotel, motel that we're staying at, and we get up early, about 3 a.m., head over to Dunkin' Donuts, and the captains will meet us there, and we'll follow them over to the where the boats are, and we have 4 per boat, so we have 3 boats, so there's 12 of us that go now every year, and the folks that do this, they do it for free, the captains and the first mates, and they're just like family to us, and we got some beautiful fish this year.
What kind of fish did you catch?
King salmon, Atlantic salmon we got this year, sometimes we get cohos, steelheads, brown trout. and once in a while lake trout, but just super nice folks out there, and they treat us like gold.
It's big water. Big water out
big
there.
Big water.
And how many went on the trip?
12.
12.
Yeah.
And did this gentleman sitting beside you go with you?
Dusty beside? Yes, he did. He did.
So what did you think, Dusty, when you went on the trip? What was it like for you to experience it as a participant?
It's a special thing. 10 veterans, none of us knew each other. Well, I guess there were a couple that did know each other as they were out of 10th Mountain Division years ago. But it's an instant bond. People you have never met, and became a brotherhood in a big hurry. We had good time. We had very good weather to be out in the boat when it was 100 degrees here out in the middle of Lake Ontario. It was very comfortable.
Oh, I bet. It was beautiful.
I felt a little guilty, but not a lot.
Not too much.
That's wonderful to have that bond. What kind of fish did you catch out there?
I got a brown.
Nice.
I hooked a couple of others, but they decided they didn't want to come to the boat.
Long back on those long releases. We get them on the hook, can't get them in. That was a long release. What other things did you do while you were out there? Was it just that fishing? Or?
Yeah, primarily. When you get done for the day, we get off the boat, go have something to eat, and some of us take a nap. It's a long day. We do that. They didn't go, some of them, but usually we go to Fat Nancy's. It's a tackle shop about 25 minutes away. Sometimes we'll go over there and guys will buy some lures and stuff. But
fun.
Yeah.
So what were you using for lures? What were you catching the big fish with?
Good Lord, everything. I don't know. They have so many names.
Ask.
They have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lures. There's just, and they're taking them off, putting new ones on all the time. Green was pretty popular this past week. And it depends. Every day is different. Depends on the color of the water and all that. And the wind, everything about it, it changes. So that's why they have to have so many lures. And they have the tips are very light tips. You can feel the fish. And they'll have them out there 200 or 300 feet. And if you get a nice salmon coming in and he decides he wants to turn around and zip out a couple hundred more feet, by the time you get him in, your arms are tired. It's a great fight. And sometimes they'll jump out of the water. And they're beautiful fish, just gorgeous fish. Yeah, it's just a great trip and great camaraderie for the vets. That's the best. And spending that time together.
Yeah. It's so important to have veterans spend time together, because it's a multi-generational and multi-service group, right? Right, yeah. Dusty?
Yeah, there were a couple of Air Force guys, mostly Army, I think two Navy.
No Marines?
No Marines.
No Coasties?
No. I belonged to the Marine Corps League, but I was Army.
It's so important for them to be together because they're just going to talk the whole time they're there. So it usually happens.
So have you done any deep sea fishing?
I have not.
Okay, because I wonder, because Lake Ontario it's huge. It has ocean-like kind of conditions sometimes. So I just wondered what the difference was between being on Lake Ontario and being deep sea.
It's big. It's big. We go off maybe a few miles offshore. Later on, they go out further.
Oh, wow.
I think the biggest one we got was 22 pounds, and we had some 14, 15 pounds.
Okay.
Last year, I think we had over 200 pounds of fillets, which is an exceptional year last year, Kings. This year was a little bit slower, but we still got some beautiful fish.
Nice. See, I would love to do that. I went deep sea fishing before, and I was on, it's just one of those kind of cruises with 12 people for a day. So it wasn't a wonderful trip where you bond or wherever. It was every man for himself. But it was really great. But we went a couple miles off. We caught things that you don't see in Maine, the red snapper and all these different things. And I thought it was the best experience. So I've always wanted to do more of that.
It is quite an experience. I know the first trip we went out, there was, I think, three or four of us. And then the guy that was leading asked us initially, he said, well, next year, bring out four more guys. So we added another boat, then another boat. And seriously, it's very healing. It's just until you're there and experience it, it's really hard to put in words. But just being together with these vets, I'm not a vet. I'm a Gold Star dad. I had my grandson with me. He knows all about House in the Woods, and he's been bait bear with me since he was 4 years old. So he connects with the veterans, and someday he'll probably be running, help his dad or somebody run the program. So I want him to gain that knowledge, and it was great for him to be around these vets.
Absolutely. And you showed me a picture. Is that the grandson?
That's Joel. Yeah. Yeah. My grandson.
Tell about that big fish he caught. That was an impressive picture.
Yeah, it was 14 or 15 pounds. Caught a couple about that size. And he's not a big kid. He's only 87 pounds.
But that fish looked as big as him in the picture.
Yeah, pretty near. But he was determined. He wouldn't let anyone help him. And he reeled it in himself. So
Good kid. Dusty, have you done any other events with House in the Woods besides the Ontario trip?
I did a fishing trip down on the Kennebec from Bass down to the headwaters, which was great fun.
The Kennebec is fun.
Comments about earlier about fishing on the Kennebec. It is a beautiful river.
It is.
It is just a beautiful river.
What did you catch when you went down and did that trip?
Stripers.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's like, stripers. Yeah. Oh, I know.
We've gone back with the same guide, one of the guides we had the last 4 years. We've gone down with him.
And, nice.
We catch a lot of fish.
That's a beautiful. We have the best time going down that. It's great.
We do. Catherine, the stripers are coming in too right now.
When are you taking me?
I got Big Jack out today, actually. Get the battery put in it. We're going to run the motor. We'll be able to go down soon.
Oh, good. That's awesome. I can't wait. And what did you do Friday, speaking of fishing, Jack?
On Friday?
Wow. I tease you. We had a little competition. We were fishing on Friday.
It's not a competition, to be perfectly clear. Just so everybody knows out there, when Catherine invites you to go fishing with her, she's not asking you to go fishing with her. What she's asking you to do is just net for her while she catches all the fish.
We just went out to Push Out Lake, and we were catching. I said, we were catching.
We? Yeah. No, not we, you.
I was catching some pretty big bass. And Jack was, you know, he's so mechanical. He was trying to, like, MacGyver these new kind of flies because he always wants to do different things. So,
trying new things all the time, of
right,
course.
So he was being, you know, very inventive. And, oh, let's try this. I'm like, no, I just want the big fish. But it was fun. We had a good time out there.
I suspected when you brought up the subject, there was a good reason for it.
Oh, yeah, of course. No,
I think it was, was it 5-1? No, I'm just...
That big pike broke my line. I brought my striper rod because they didn't have a regular fishing rod. It had a 30-pound test on it.
Oh, wow.
And it cast into the weeds there.
Pike out there.
And this, it broke a 30-pound line off on the strike. Wasn't even like a fight, you know.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure if they just tied Catherine off and threw her in, I could have got in the boat, but I wasn't willing.
Do you fish for bass at all, Norm? You just go for how do you like it?
I like bass. I mean, I've fished for smallmouth and stripers and, when I was down in North Carolina, rock bass. And I love the flavor of bass. I mean, I talk to people who've bass fish, and I say, well, how do you like eating them? And we don't eat them. I says, you ought to try it. And the same thing with pike. Pike is really tasty.
Yeah.
And why not, you know? But yes, most of the fish I think that you'd find here in Maine, I've fished for them at some point.
Oh, neat. That is, I love to bass fish. I grew up my whole life with my dad was, you know, he was a fly fisherman. If you didn't hike into the woods and find a stream or a hidden canoe on a pond and tie your own fly in the canoe, I mean, he was like diehard, like old school kind of fisherman. So I grew up fishing with him, and so then now it's as an old lady I get the, you know, I get the bass boat.
Mainly trout fishing probably.
Absolutely. That was his thing. He loved it. Yeah. And so here I am. I have, you know, it paddled my whole life, canoes and kayaks and things, but I now have a bass boat with a motor, and I feel like it's and roll fishing.
It is pretty cool, I have to say.
So it's like a totally different thing. My dad would never go on the boat. He's like, that's not real fishing, Kath. I'm like, what? But the last summer he was alive, he came out on the bass boat, and he's like, oh my God, this was the most fun I've ever had. Like, he loved it. When you get those fish and they jump, and it's just fun, and you can actually talk, and you don't have to, like, whisper.
Well, smallmouth is really fishing.
It is. Yeah, they do. It's a lot of fun. So I kind of converted him in the last little bit of his life there. And just as a thing here, I want to tell everyone this is a talk show. You can call in and ask us questions. Jack, give us that number one more time.
There's a 1-800-966-4673. 1039.
And call in and add your own story and or ask us questions, and we'd love to hear from you. But before we go any further, we do have a General Appliance Services ad. They are incredible to us. They've been sponsors of us for years and years and years. It is now owned and operated by Gary Coleman, who's been doing service work for General Appliance for 35 years. Nothing has changed. Rebuilt appliances available, parts and service for all makes and models, always reliable, giving you complete support after the sale. You owe it to yourself to come see our gas appliances for your camp, gas refrigeration, gas lights, gas freezers, gas ranges, and Norm's personal favorite, the composting toilet.
Ride the wave, baby.
Come visit us at our new location just two doors up, still here serving first-class customer service at 103 Center Street, Brewer, Maine. And really, I hope people do go, because they really have been wonderful sponsors, and the service you get there is absolutely fantastic. So, Paul, we were just kind of hit on bear hunting. Tell us a little bit about what you do with bear hunting up there.
Well, like everyone here that hunts in Maine, we're getting ready. We'll have approximately 30 or 32, 33 vets for the two weeks that we do. We just do the first 2 weeks. So we're going to be baiting here coming right up.
Yeah. 27 days.
27
exactly.
days. We'll be putting bait out, and then the state allows you, of course, to have 4 weeks. And then the vets will come in on a Saturday. And on Sunday, we have 200 lobsters donated. And we'll have a big lobster feed with corn on the cob and all the fixings for each week. So we kick it off with that. And then a friend of mine, he's a guide and a logger. He goes down, carves a bear out with his chainsaw out of a big block of pine. And one of the vets gets to take that home with him.
That's cool.
Then we come in and have Hot Fudge Sundays and have our safety talk and whatnot. So we're excited about that. We have vets come fly in, some drive from all over the country. We've had vets from over 40 states, probably close to 45 now, in all different areas, all different walks of life. And they all, when they get together, it doesn't matter. They all bond, and that camaraderie is really special.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we actually have a caller here, and Norm's going to patch him through. Hi, caller. How are you? What's your name, and where are you calling from? Hello, caller.
Hi, my name's Ken. My name's Ken Pearson.
Hi, Ken. Welcome to the show. What do you have for a question or comment?
I'm calling from Winterport.
Okay, what would
can you...
Can
you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm sorry. It was a little bit of a delay there. But thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, I'm interested...
I'm sorry.
I'm interested in shad fishing in the Penobscot. Wonder if you have any experience or advice about fishing for shad in the Penobscot.
My advice is go fishing anytime you can and learn it when you go. I don't fish the Penobscot a lot. I do mostly Damariscot, a Sheepscot, you know, the Casco Bay and the Kennebec. But the main inland fisheries website online, it has a lot of good advice on starting new fishing adventures, and they do have a shad portion. I think it's just a regular get out there. You can fish with flies, you can fish trolling, you can fish cut bait, and you can fish worms, squid, all kinds of different aspects for shad. But I don't know a lot about specifically the Penobscot, because I don't fish there a lot. But maybe if somebody else out there knows more about shad fishing on the Penobscot, they can call in and give Ken some more advice.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. I appreciate that.
I have heard people talking.
Okay, I think Dusty's got some help. A little comment for you, Ken. Hold on. Go ahead, Dusty.
I've heard people talking about fishing for shad up near Milford.
Have you been up there at all, Ken? Or is this something new that you're just wanting to try? Or
couple of years ago, I went to the BZ Salmon Club, and they had a guy up from Delaware, an old guy, that talked about shad fishing, and I learned a little bit, but I haven't actually tried it. I'd like to do is obviously find someone that's actually doing it that would be like to have me come along and show me something. I'm a bit more show me than tell me person.
I'd say, you know, go online, hire a guide service to get you started, and then once you've learned the ropes, you kind of go out, and they'll give you good pointers on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for calling, Ken. We appreciate the call into the show.
And thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And we were talking about bear. I've helped people, other people that were hunting. I haven't hunted bear myself, but I help with their sights and everything. And I'm a little bit of a chicken. Like, I'll tell people all the time, like, I was going to go. I was all ready. I did it 1 year, and all I had was, like, raccoons come in. So the last day of that, like, a bear came, but the teeth, you know how they make that cha-cha-cha? I was terrified. I'm like, I don't think bear hunting's for me. I wish I could, but I help people with their bait sites and everything, but I'm a little chicken. So how do people that have never done it get over that fear of that big, huge animal with teeth?
Well, there are people. We have vets come in, and some have seen combat, and one of the things that some do share with us, if they have, you know, one come out, and especially if they come closer to them, they get a little nervous. We had one last year that actually... he shot it, and then I don't think the bear was purposely charging him, but he did. He come full force towards him. He had to stand up and shoot it just before the where he was sitting. So, you know, that made him a little nervous, yeah. But that doesn't happen that often. So bear typically don't bother you, and that fear about that really, you know, just pay attention. They really don't bother you too much.
What was the biggest bear one of your participants has gotten?
Nothing real big. We've had bigger ones, I think 360, but we've had some bigger on camera. We had one 2-3 years ago, and I looked at the picture and said it was between 5 and 6, and it went to another outfitter's bait site about 3 miles, and a woman shot it with a 270, and it was live weight, it was 589
Ooh,
pounds. So
that's a big bear.
But your average bear is probably around 140, 150. If you get a 200-pound bear, that's a good representation of a bear. We don't trophy hunt, but it's just, well, we've had some ladies come, and believe it or not, I have never shot anything hunting. And
they that shot, was their first thing, was a bear hunt?
Yes.
Wow.
And they have shot some really nice bear, and they were calm and collective about it. And they listened to all the details that we shared with them, and they were very successful. So a lot of it, when some guys will go and say, hey, I didn't see anything, there's nothing there, well, the bear are there, they know you're there no matter what. They know. They circle behind you, and that you cannot move in that witching hour, we call it. You got to pay attention. Don't be banging stuff. Don't be opening up, eating a pack of crackers. And
that could have been my problem.
the biggest enemy we have is the cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
We tell them to keep them off because that light comes on, or they're looking down, the bear comes out,
yeah.
And they're looking at the phone for half a minute or a minute. The bear can come in and out before you'll even know. You won't hear them.
Yeah. When a hunter gets ready to go to the woods and he's got a backpack, that's not a good sign.
No, never.
That's not a good sign.
The less you take, the better you are.
Yeah. You know, Paul, we talked about off air the amount of work it takes to prepare. You're getting 40, 42 sites out
there. Yeah,
it's
a little over 40.
There's a lot of work that comes along, daily work to prepare those sites. I mean, we're literally tons of bait we're talking about. And I know that the volunteerism for the House in the Woods can be a bit of a challenge in that, 'cause we're not exactly young men, you know.
Right.
And that's some real work to get those 5-gallon buckets out there off trucks and get them out to those barrels. Do you need any extra help out there from volunteers to help with the preparation of the bear sites this year?
Yeah, if there's anybody interested, just go to our website at houseinthewoods.org. My phone number's on there. Angie's phone number's on there. You can email us, text us. And if you're interested, want to help bait bear. We have one vet, for example. He's got emphysema. He's still getting out in the woods, but he can't carry bait like he used to. So that's a good example. We're all getting older. And
he's some young. You gotta get the Bangor High School football team. That's the best workout you can get. I'm telling you, it's a great workout.
Yeah,
it really is.
It is. It's a super good workout.
You're covering this all those muscle groups. Get the Brewer Bangor football teams out there as these athletic teams. Yep. It's a great chance for them to volunteer and get a workout while they're doing it.
So just get in touch with houseinthewoods.org, and there's phone numbers all over the place.
Do you do any moose hunts, or is it just?
We do. We have a cow tag up in Zone 4. We have a bull tag, October Zone 1. We have another bull tag in Zone 4. These are all donated tags.
Wow.
From folks that did not want them. And my son got drawn this year, so my grandson is his sub permitting. He's going to be firing the first shot.
Oh. Oh, that's great.
So counting that, we have four, but right now we have three moose hunts.
Wonderful. And how do you like choose people to use those?
We specifically on our own, we pick combat wounded vets, Purple Heart, just for the moose hunt. Everything else is any vet, but because it's a once in a lifetime hunt for most people. So that's why we particularly pick combat Purple Heart wounded vets.
84 days from today.
It's coming right around.
Not that I'm counting or anything.
Who's counting,
okay, 84
right?
days. That's right.
So we stay at cabins and camps that folks donate to us, whether it be in the North Main Woods or wherever. And people are just so gracious to us, helping us out.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Have you done any of just the fishing, or you've done hunting with these?
Just the fishing.
Yeah. What about turkey? You guys do turkey too,
we
right?
We do.
I love turkey hunting. And I remember you had asked me once at the beginning of this season, I was already booked. I was like, I want to come help with the turkey hunt. Get some women, veterans, and I'll come do that.
We did this year.
I think that's great.
We'll try doing that again. We had six women vets, one from California, Alabama, New Hampshire, and Maine. And we got five turkeys.
Nice.
A couple misses. And some had never hunted anything, let alone turkeys. And some were successful.
I really think the turkey hunt is such a great introductory hunt. That's when you said that first thing they hunted was a bear. I'm like, that's a pretty tough introductory hunt. But turkeys are great because you can really interact with that bird and you can hear it gobble. And
yeah, it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And even the bear, though, the ladies, it seems like they were just so calm and collective from their story that they weren't nervous. And I think sometimes some of the guys just boom, 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 you know, they're shooting all over the place or they shoot under or over or whatever. And not saying all the guys are like that, but the ladies, to be honest with you, seem to listen better than the guys.
I love to hear that because I've heard that before. And I think, I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know what it is really, but maybe guys think they know maybe a little more than they kind of do sometimes.
A lot of us do.
You know? And so I think, like, we go around, I'm like, I might be main guy, but I don't know how to do this. Please explain it to me. And I really enjoy listening and doing
And we have some really, all the guys and gals are all really super. And some people get nervous, that kind of thing, too. So
I think that's great. Well, I have really appreciated you guys coming on the show.
Thanks
and
for
we go
us.
Back when you say hi to Angie. I miss that. It was so cute because I thought she was coming. I'm like, hey, Angie. Goes, oh, I'm not coming. I'm like, what? She goes, I've been so busy today. But she was a joy, and she's a real asset to House in the Woods as well. So if she's listening, thanks, Angie.
Thanks, Angie. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys have any little last minute thing in the last few seconds here?
Just again, like to thank all the vets. Dusty here to my right. Thank you so much for your service.
And July 1st, go on up and check out the House in the Woods trees. That's going to be a wonderful month up there. And thank you all very much for listening to the Maine Outdoors.